If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at Wavebreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder of Wavebreak. If you're new here, I help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue. And if one of our clients didn't hire us last year, they would have missed out on over $1 million in revenue. And that is what you're leaving on the table. So don't wait around. If you want to learn more about working with me, head over to wavebreak.co. Now, every week on this show, I interview the people behind some of the top brands in e-commerce, and I get them to share their secrets. If you don't want to miss that and you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe on iTunes to make sure you never miss an episode. And today, it's no different. We have a great guest and an awesome episode. And today, we're going to be talking about why small wins matter in e-commerce. Do you ever feel like your store isn't growing fast enough? You know, maybe your sales have stalled, or you check your analytics day to day and it's just like you're not seeing the numbers you want. You're not seeing the growth you want. Your ads aren't performing as well as you'd like. Maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's Google, maybe it's email, whatever. It's just you feel like things could be better. And maybe your sales have even stalled out completely. It's just not, you hit the threshold and you're just not performing like you used to be. Now, that's exactly what happened to today's guest, Mehdi Kajbaf. He's co-founder and CEO of Matboard and More, and they do custom made-to-order artwork framing online. I'll let him explain a little bit more about what they do exactly, but basically what happened was after growing a ton year after year for years, growth stalled. And now today in this episode, Mehdi's going to share exactly why their growth stalled and then how he was able to turn things around and keep growing the business. So without further ado, let's jump into this episode. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Mehdi.
Thank you. Happy to be here, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, super stoked to have you on the show. You have an awesome story and I'm excited to dive into it. But before we do that, to get started, can you just kind of explain like what Matboard and More is?
Yeah, so you know, I always struggle with this question because nobody knows what a Matboard is, but you've seen a million of them. I can promise you that. But a Matboard is basically it's the part inside of a frame. But what we've really done that's kind of made us successful is you probably have a whole bunch of pictures or documents or just random artwork sitting around your house. And you look at it all the time and you think, man, that would be so beautiful if that was on the wall. But you don't really know how to go about it. You know, you go to Michael's or you go to, you know, Hobby Lobby. You had to pay a ton to get that done. But on our website, you can custom mat and frame any size artwork up to 32 by 40. So, you know, those random pictures, those photographs, those documents, you can get an exact custom size, fit perfectly, and you can do it if you only want one or two, or if you want hundreds, or if you're an artist that does it even, you know, larger quantities. We provide services for all those consumers. But fundamentally, yeah, it's custom matting and framing at a much more economical price than you'd find at other shops, and it's just way easier to do it online.
Totally. And that makes total sense. So like, what's your story? Like, this is a really unique space with a really unique product. Like, how did you get into this business?
How I got into it is, got to give a lot of props to my partners. So 7 years ago is when we started, I guess about 7 years ago now. But I myself at that time didn't know basically anything about picture frames and mats, to be honest with you. But my brother-in-law, he's been in the industry for like 40 years. He's a little bit older than me, and he's been doing this even from before he came to the U.S. when he was back in Iran. So he knew all the suppliers, you know, all the production means. Basically, he knew how to get a mat board, you know, physically cut, prepared, packaged, and shipped. So he had this idea for, you know, doing custom matting because it was something that was really expensive to do in stores and hard to find online. And my brother, he built the website. So he took that idea and he brought it to life. He created the technical, he did the technical part and actually made it available online. But what they were missing was like that third piece to actually sell it, right? How are you going to market it? Who's going to discover this? How do you actually make this a successful business? I had just completed my MBA. I did an engineering degree before that. And I was in that mindset of business. I was doing a lot of social media work. And I saw the website. We talked about it. And they said, okay, you know, that's the missing piece. So I came in and did all the marketing and business stuff. And 7 years later, we're pretty much the number one custom matting company in the U.S. And it's taken off and it's been awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And marketing is key. Like so many people think, and like this is even, I think even in Seth Godin's book, he says something like, oh, if you build a product that's great enough, like people will just find it. But like nowadays, like I forget when he wrote that, but like I don't believe that at all. Like you could have the greatest website and the greatest product, but without marketing, there's nothing. It's crickets unless you get lucky.
And marketing is about so many different things, right? I mean, one big part of it, which I'm sure we'll talk about, is like attracting customers. That's a huge part of marketing, right? But it's also just how do you keep the customer? How do you do your pricing? How do you, you know, brand your product? What's your messaging like? You know, so there's a whole world of things and they're very different skill sets. It's not anything that is related to physically building the map board. And, you know, being a web developer, that's one thing, but being able to market it is another thing. So I could never do what my partners do, and they couldn't do what I do, and that's why it works. So just one little piece of advice, I guess, if you're looking to start a company is get the best partners you can, because without them, it's tough.
Absolutely. I mean, I was the same way. Like early on, like I thought, like, man, I want to be a programmer or something. Like I thought that was cool. But then I tried it, and I hated it. It just wasn't my thing, and I bounced from like thing to thing, and then that's when I found marketing. And it was just like, wow, this is my thing. So you don't have to like doing everything. Sometimes you just, you know, like you said, find a co-founder who's good at that. Or even, depending on the stage of your business, hire someone to do that thing for you.
Absolutely.
It's 2019. I mean, it's so easy to do that. And now fast forwarding to now, can you give me a rundown of your business? Like, where are you now? Like, what's revenue look like? How many employees do you have?
Well, I don't want to share too many specifics, but like employee wise, we're at about 15 now. Revenue is, you know, it's in the 2 million range and it's been growing. We did stagnate for a couple of years, I will say. You know, we were doubling up our sales for a long time and then we kind of hit a wall. Now we've launched a new website and it's been about 6 months into the game, and that's definitely helped us accelerate a lot further. So I'd say I'm really happy with where we are, given that at the beginning, you know, I was working full time. My partner in production was working full time, but my brother, and as a web development side, it took him a little while to jump on board full time. And once he did that, it made things so much easier. You know, having like, you know, a full time job and then having this as a side gig versus just all of us being fully committed to it has been, you know, really, really important in pushing things forward.
Totally. What was that like? Like, so you went through this period where you were growing, and then you hit that wall. Like, can you walk me through that? Like, how did you figure out like what the wall was, and then like how did you get past that?
Yeah, it's really frustrating, I would say. At the time, it was really frustrating because, and I think it's just it's a different mindset, right? The things you need to do to get a business to start and just become profitable, and the things you need to do to grow to like, you know, $1 million, $2 million range, and the things you need to do to grow to like $10, $20, $50 million range, they're all very different mindsets and different skill sets. But, you know, for us, the main problems were, one, like I said, my brother wasn't 100% available. So, you know, we just couldn't get features and releases done as quick as we'd like, particularly the new website. The other part of it was we first made the website without being mobile friendly, and that, you know, 7 years ago was something you can get away with. But the last few years, without having a mobile-friendly site, it's really, really tough. So that was a big push, right? Getting ourselves to have a responsive website that worked well on the phone. But yeah, for sure, like it's frustrating when you see things kind of stagnating. It's a little bit worrisome as well, right? And you don't want to start seeing a dip, right? Slowing growth is one thing. Dipping is a whole other ball of wax. But it's also got a lot more competitive since we started. You know, 7 years ago, custom matting wasn't really something that was that popular online, but there's a whole lot of new companies, some of them VC funded with a lot of backing, and they've come into the game. So, you know, it's a lot of different things happening at the same time. But if I were to say one specific thing that was big for us was having a responsive website.
Yeah, totally. One of my friends who was actually just on the podcast recently, Nick, he does A/B testing for online stores. And the first thing he does, one of the first things he does is log on to the store and try to complete an order on mobile. Because so many people are on mobile nowadays. And it's like, as a store owner, it's like, it's easy to get overwhelmed with like, oh, my Facebook ads, this, that, customer support. I have to hire this person, do this thing. But like, really, like, you got to think, like, when was the last time you actually went through your own checkout process on a phone?
Absolutely.
You might be surprised what you could find. And you might end up being really frustrated and annoyed. So if you haven't done that in a while, go and do that. And now, speaking of your situation, like, now that you have gone from that point where you're kind of like stuck and you were growing really fast, then you stalled, like, what are some of the things that you might do differently now that you've grown?
You mean to continue growing, like to keep the push in that sense, like to keep accelerating forward? You know, it's funny how that works, because the way that we started, it's almost like repeating the process that we first did. And what I mean by that is, when we first launched a website, you know, 7 years ago, it was a very, very basic website. And we put a lot of money into marketing. We got a lot of people come, and then we iterated, and we kept improving, and we kept improving, and we get more traffic, we get the customer feedback, and we'd improve. And so you make some big gains right away, right? It's some low hanging fruit. There's certain products, certain features, you add them and you get a big push. But then over time, it becomes harder and harder to find those big gains. Now it's kind of like we're in that same process again with this new website. So early on, you know, we launched it, it didn't do as well as we'd like. So we got a lot of customer feedback, and, you know, we would use that knowledge to improve this new version of the website. So it's like the whole mobile sphere, it's a big iterative process. So I look at my analytics all the time, look at, you know, the consumer behavior, we talk to our customers. So it's just, it's that process, it's never ending, right? But like you say, you don't want to just go off and spend a ton of money on, you know, Facebook or Google or whatever until your actual website is as optimized as it can be. So that's one big push. The other thing that we're working on, and it's a much bigger project, it's going to take a long time, but we want to improve just the look and feel of the website. So more of the artistic sort of aspects of it. That's one thing that we lack, and it kind of falls under my umbrella as a marketer. But creativity is hard, especially on the websites and stuff. It's hard to get the good creative. So we need to get better artwork. We need to get better, you know, images. And that whole process is, I think, going to be critical for us moving forward as well.
Totally. And you have a really interesting product too, where it's not just like you're selling a water bottle. Like, that's simple. You just buy a water bottle. You add a cart, boom, done. So you have a really interesting product. And like, how does that, with this interesting product, like, obviously you have to do things on your website different, but like, how does that play into your marketing? Like, what does your marketing look like for a product that's like kind of complex? Because I'm sure some people are kind of like aware of this, and then other people, do they have to be educated, or what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's a big, big part of, you know, how we try to build our website out, right? So we try to make the website as functional as possible, in a sense that we try to make it as easy as it could possibly be for you to, you know, get a mat and frame for your artwork. And for a lot of people, that's intimidating. You know, they don't know where to start. How do I measure this thing? How do I, you know, pick the right size, the right color? That's why you go to your frame shop typically. So we do a lot in terms of like different guides on the website, and just learning through that iterative process how to build the best experience. And we just look at our conversion rate, and it just keeps ticking up and up and up. And with the new website, like, it's been like a 20-30% increase over the old one. And on mobile, astronomically, it's increased. And that's just because we've made it as easy as possible and intuitive as possible to design your mat. One of the ways that we did that was to make it extremely visual. So in the previous one, it was a little bit more like, I don't want to say text-based, because it was still a visual thing there, but it wasn't as intuitive. But in this one, you can just click on the mat, and automatically you can change the color. You can change the sizing directly on the picture. And that just like feels a lot more intuitive to people. So we've been getting a lot of positive feedback on that. But you're right, like, the aspect of it's fully customizable, it's something that you can configure to whatever specs you need, that can be amazing, but it could also be extremely intimidating for someone who just wants to buy a simple mat. So it's you know, that's where most of our energy and our process has gone into, is creating that mat design wizard. We call it the wizard, right? or the builder, the map design builder. And most of my energy has gone into that to just make that whole process as intuitive as possible. And for the most part, people have really responded well and they like it a lot. But it creates challenges on a lot of other fronts as well. Like in pricing, for example, you know, pricing, like if you have an off the shelf product and you know that it costs you $5 and you sell it for, you know, $20, that's easy, right? It's a $5 product, I sell it for $20. But we don't have any off the shelf product. Everything that we do is made to order. So you can go in and order an 8x10 mat, but maybe the opening is 5x7, or the opening is 3x6, or the opening is like some other weird number. So it's everything is customized, everything is made to order. So when it comes to pricing and how we market that, that's also pretty tough sometimes.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can only imagine. So when you are marketing this, so you mentioned you have some guides and stuff. Like, are you, like, what is the type of customer you're marketing to? Like, are you trying to market to the people who already know what this is? Are you doing a little bit more education? Are you going straight for the sale up front? Like, what does that look like? Because I know some people get hung up when they have a product that takes a little more education than your typical product. So can you walk me through, like, what that kind of looks like?
Well, our marketing, for the vast majority of it, is through Google, right? So most of our customers are coming to us after doing a search, like, you know, how do I order a custom mat board, or I want to buy custom mats, custom mat and frame. So either through SEO or through AdWords, that's where the vast majority of our customers are coming through. And it's hard for me to know how many of those people go in with like, we talk to them and some of them have no idea. And so they just call us and we just help them through it. But for the majority of them, I feel like they just go to the website knowing they want some kind of custom mat and they discover us. And then the website is intuitive enough that they can just figure it out on their own. So it's not like we specifically go out looking for, I guess, I don't know. It's basically where we make ourselves discoverable. I don't know if that's kind of the short answer to your question. But we make ourselves discoverable and then we make the process as intuitive as possible.
No, that makes sense. And you're not focusing on the people who like don't care about mat boards, which is smart because like you're not going to convince someone who doesn't need a mat board or doesn't know even know what a mat board is that they need one. So you're focusing on the people who are actually going to end up buying. And no, that sounds smart.
And I think part of that, you know, might speak to why we've had a harder time on like Facebook and Instagram. I know those are channels that are traditionally very successful for e-commerce platforms, but Facebook for us just doesn't work very well. And I think part of it is exactly like you say, like they're not necessarily looking for a custom mat and frame, or they don't really know what that means. But on Google, it's like, I have an intention right now. I'm searching for these products. And so I'm looking for it. And when I find Mapboard and More, you know, I see that they have what I want. But when it's more like a passive kind of thing, like where Facebook, where it's just, you know, it shows up in your face, or display marketing, they haven't done that well for us. And maybe it's our creative, maybe it's our messaging, but it's hard to get that idea across unless someone's like really looking for you.
Right, right. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, how has your marketing changed as you've grown? So you guys have been in like, you guys have been in this business for a while. You've seen competitors come and go. You've seen a lot of new companies come in with VC funding. Like, how is your marketing and your positioning and the way you're advertising, how has that changed over the last few years?
You know, to be honest with you, it hasn't changed that dramatically. We've experimented with tons of things, but the things that have worked have pretty much been the same since the beginning. Google AdWords and SEO. Those two combined by far outweigh everything else. I mean, I'd like to talk to you later about email marketing as well, because I know that's your expertise.
Right.
So I'm sure we could do a little bit better on that front. But like, it's basically just improving on those two. And SEO never ends, right? It's always a constant process. You always want to stay up to date with it. And AdWords has evolved so much from when we started to the kind of ads that we display today. And, you know, along with that is Bing as well. So it really hasn't changed that much. I've experimented a lot. You know, I've tried different, platforms, but for the most part, that bread and butter of just SEO, AdWords, and then repeat customers, you know, making sure that we keep the customers and get a lot of repeat business. That's sort of the trifecta.
Totally. And I really like how you said that. Like, yeah, it really hasn't changed that dramatically. And that's not to say like things haven't changed at all, because they definitely have over the last few years. But I think what's interesting about that is like so many people, especially in the space e-commerce, since everything moves so fast and there's always new apps and things popping up, it's like, oh, what is the thing I can do to add to my website to increase sales? You know, like what is that thing that's going to unlock $10 million in sales for my business? Well, like spoiler alert, it's not a little pop-up in the corner that says somebody just purchased 20 seconds ago. Like that might help your conversion rate. But like overall, like long-term, you look at the businesses that are most successful in any space, it's like double down on the marketing channels that work. Google, Facebook, email, SEO, like these things, like, yes, they change, but they don't like just disappear overnight typically. Mm-hmm. Unless you're really unlucky and like Facebook bans your industry or something bad happens. But for the most part, you should be good. Just focusing on the basics and doing them well.
I agree. I mean, there's such a focus on sort of like get rich quick schemes or like, you know, kind of gimmicks. And, you know, it's what it is. It's 1,000 little things. It's very few single, you know, silver bullet type of stuff that's going to solve your company. And even on AdWords is like, it took us years and it's never ending. I mean, it's like, I was just in there today just having a look and I'm like, damn, I need to optimize some of these things. It's a never-ending process, but it's iterative, right? It's not like you just set up something and suddenly success comes to you. It's improving it incrementally every single day. And then over the long term, you know, you look back and it's been, you know, a significant change. But it doesn't happen overnight and it doesn't happen with like one simple decision.
Yes, I love how you said that. One of my mentors, one of the things he likes to say is like, just hit singles every single day. Like you can swing for the home run, but the guys who swing for the home runs, they have the highest strikeout percentages. But the guys who go for the base hit every time, they get on base. And before you know it, they add up to runs. And before you know it, you win the game, which it sounds like you're doing. And I'd love to learn more about so you run this company, like what does your role look like now? And like, how do you make sure you're keeping, like obviously you have a bunch of different things going on. Like you run the company, you're in the weeds of the marketing here and there. Like how do you make sure nothing falls through the cracks and you keep up with keeping everything consistent?
I mean, things do fall through the cracks sometimes. I mean, honestly, that's part of the process. Like when I was in Florida, we did a release and something screwed up on the back end and Google couldn't crawl us. So for like 6 days, you know, we had, and I was away and I'm looking like traffic doesn't seem right, but I just couldn't dig into it because I was on vacation. I was having a good time, you know, but, you know, things do fall through the cracks. But I think what it is when you got to monitor it, basically. You got to have your key metrics, right? Google Analytics, you can learn so much just from looking at Google Analytics. You know, I come back and I see my click-through rate on the organic has gone down like 80%. That's all because all the metadata got screwed up and Google, you know, crawled that it couldn't get the metadata correctly. So all the SERPs were incorrect. And then we had to dig into that and we find out, you know, that there was a problem on the back end. So stuff like that can happen at any point on any part of your business. Right. So to me, it's just like you got to have some monitoring in place. And Google Analytics is by far the simplest and easiest way to do that. The other is you got to have partners. Like I mentioned before, there's no way that I could run production, run web development and run marketing. It's impossible. So you have to have people in place to, you know, help you out with all different aspects of the business. What else would I say is important? Yeah, I guess, keeping track on a daily basis of different aspects, having a good team in place, that's probably the most important thing. And just, it's a daily grind. It's a daily grind and you want to have your pulse on things at all points, but that doesn't mean that you have to do everything. It just means that you need someone who's doing it, who you can talk to, right? And you want to make that information as accessible and transparent to them as possible.
Totally. Yeah, I love how you said that at the end. Like you don't have to do it, but you still have to keep an eye on it. It's just like, for example, your books. Like you don't have to go in and be your bookkeeper, but that doesn't mean you can't, you don't have to look at your books and that you shouldn't look at your books, because that gives you one of the clearest pictures of your business you'll ever see. So you definitely don't want to hand it off to the bookkeeper and then not look at it. No, look at it, but you don't have to do the actual bookkeeping yourself. I love how you said that.
Yeah, and the other thing actually, I just to think about it, you know, because you got to start correct, I would say. The beginning is so important. Like, when you start your AdWords campaigns, a lot of times when I would first start, I was like, I'm just going to like just throw something on the wall and just see what happens. And, you know, a month later, I'd look back and I wouldn't be able to tell like if it worked or it didn't work because it wasn't systematic. And the more things that you kind of at the beginning, you can have your hands in everything. Like, for example, when I go to negotiate my FedEx rates, when I go to get my negotiated rates from the merchant processors, you know, these are things that at the beginning, I have a lot of time and I can go in and I can do lots of research and figure it out. But then at some point, there's just so many of these different things. You know, you got workers' comp insurance and, you know, yeah, like you say, you got the books and the accountants and there's all these different things going on. And it's hard to keep track of all of them. But if every time you do one of those things, you do it with precision and with detail, then you kind of know that it's good. But if you sort of just like nilly-willy do a whole bunch of stuff randomly and kind of just don't work with a system, the bigger you get, the more complicated it is. Like we're at a point right now where I feel like we could grow the business maybe 3-4 more times. And all it would require is just expanding our production. The systems we have in place for customer service, the systems we have in place for, you know, customers being able to edit and manipulate their orders, to change their orders, to the tracking, all that kind of stuff is basically going to be the same whether you're making $1 million or $2 million or you're making $10 million. And that's because you do it right at the beginning. Then you can scale up. But I think it's so much harder to fix things, you know, once you've already grown.
Totally. What's your process? Because I know like for a lot of people, it feels like, man, it's like I'm treading water. Like there's so much going on. There's so much I need to do. Like how do you, like what's your process for taking the time? Because you were still growing fast. Like you said, you were growing fast in the beginning. How did you make sure you still invested the time in creating those systems along the way?
Well, I almost think like if you don't invest the time, like you're creating time by doing those things, right?
Right.
Like, you know, it's Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week. I don't know if you read that book or not, but that to me is one of the classics. I love that book. I know Tim Ferriss gets a lot of, you know, a lot of people don't like him because, well, for whatever reasons, but the concepts in that book are what I carry with me on a daily basis. And it's all about being effective, not efficient. You know, it's just this whole notion that do things in the right, most effective way to get you closer to your goals. And that way you're going to be impactful. You know, 80-20 rule or 90-10 rule, all that kind of stuff. So early in the business, you know, my focus was, or our focus as a team was, let's get this website to be as, as intuitive and as easy to use as possible so that customers don't have to come to us. I would get a lot of emails at the beginning. I get less emails, maybe not less, but I get a similar amount of emails today as I did early on from customers, which is crazy to think when I have so many more customers now than I did before.
Right.
But the reason is at the beginning, people are emailing you about every question. How do I do this? How do I do that? They call you. Then I, you know, instead of just spending all my time answering emails and phone calls and growing the business, we would say, okay, if 10 people are having a hard time figuring out how to do the opening size, then let's make that as intuitive as possible. So then you just cut out 10 emails a day or 10% of your of that sort of busy work, I would say, right? And then it's like, okay, we have a whole bunch of customers complaining about colors. Well, let's create a process where they can order samples and see the colors in person and not have to deal with these customer issues. And there's just tons of these things. It's a never-ending thing, right? But you listen to your customers, and now it's like the only customers we hear from are, there's a damage with shipping. Well, you know, that sucks, but okay, we'll send you a replacement. Or for example, you know, there was a mistake, or, you know, there's things. Or usually it's actually very positive. People just wanting to tell us how much they love the mats and frames. So that becomes easy, right? I don't have to hire 3 people to do customer service and deal with all that stuff because we instead invested into making the website. They take care of all those things up front. And so in every aspect of your business, there's going to be things like that where you're spending a ton of time doing something and it's maybe not the best way to do it. So, but like you say, you know, if you grow too quickly, you may not have the time to set up all those things. And then you just get into a bad cycle. But we're at a point right now where things are running very smoothly, I would say. And I do have a lot of time actually to focus on, you know, bigger picture type stuff. And that time is not an issue in our company right now. It's because I feel like we built systems and we did things right from the get-go.
Totally. And if you don't build those systems and you grow, at some point, everything's probably going to fall apart if you don't end up
Absolutely.
Building those systems.
100%.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the whole systems thing. And I think that's really important because, I mean, ultimately it's an investment. And it might take you 8 hours to perfect the system, maybe 24 hours, like 24 working hours, like, you know, a few full days. But ultimately, like, you end up handing that off your plate. I mean, I look at me in my own business, like, it takes a while. Like, you might have to invest training in a person. You might have to create the processes. You might have to go back and redo it. You might have to fire the person and hire someone else. But ultimately, at the end of the day, like, you spent 4 hours, 8 hours, 36 hours, however long it took you, to now you don't have to do that job anymore, or you don't have those customers, you know, shoving their complaints down your throat about this random thing that really all you need to do is make this little tweak on your website. And I 100%. Mean, it's beautiful. I love how you said that.
Yeah, we created like a, we call it the admin tool. You know, in the beginning, we would literally print out the order emails, and like production would just look at the email and they would, you know, do their thing. Obviously, that wasn't going to work as we got bigger. At the beginning, that's fine. You're just moving for it. But now we have a full admin system with, basically, it's a completely custom-built administration system, and that's not revenue-generating, obviously, right? That's a completely internal system that we use. We probably spent, you know, $100,000 building that, but that's what then allows us to, like, flip the switch and, you know, moving forward, grow without having to worry about all those details. So, yeah, we took a step back. We built the whole administration tool. Then we give customers an admin tool, an account system where they can do all that kind of stuff. But you have to take a step back and do those things. Otherwise, as you grow, it's just going to become impossible.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's like so many people are focused on like the outside of their business, like the marketing. Like, oh, I got to automate my marketing, get the systems done for that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard maybe sometimes to see the inside as an investment. But ultimately, like by investing in the inside of your business, not only are you protecting your business like from, you know, things falling through the cracks or like scaling and everything just falling apart, but also you look at that and it makes your service better, which makes it easier for you to scale in the long run. So it is, you are investing in growth and you're not really throwing that money away, even though I know it's hard. We tell ourselves these stories like if we're not spending it on ads or we're spending it on something else, like we're spending money. It's not an investment, but ultimately like things like that, they are an investment.
Well, the stories we tell ourselves, I mean, that just reminds me of like another really important point. And this is more sort of a personal value system or whatever, but it kind of comes from Tim Ferriss's book as well. But we're so addicted to busyness. Like people feel that if they're not busy, they're not contributing. This is the mindset that we have in the Western world, right? That we have to be working all the time. And it's a really horrible mindset to have as an entrepreneur because, you know, when you're at work and you're working a 9-to-5 job, you're pretty much going to get paid the same no matter what you do, right? Like your salary is fixed. You go to work, you have 8 hours of your day are gone. You're going to have to be there. So, you know, you find things to keep yourself busy, hopefully productive. As an entrepreneur, I could literally spend 0 hours a day working or 24 hours a day. There's no limit either direction. And if I'm addicted to being busy, or if I have this notion that if I'm not constantly working on something that I'm not being productive, that's so dangerous because now you're going to spend all your time, you know, just doing like random things that aren't really that productive, but make you feel good about yourself. Entrepreneurship, you have to be very brutally honest with yourself and say, okay, just because I spent, you know, 10 hours today working on this creative, you know what? It sucks and I got to throw it out. I spent 10 hours on it. It doesn't matter. If you spent 10 minutes on it and it was better, well, you know, the time doesn't matter. The amount of time you spend on things, which is such a simple way to judge value, means nothing in the world of entrepreneurship. So we're so addicted to this idea that we have to work so much or we have to constantly be busy. And it's not like that at all. It's like, are you making money? Are you growing the business? Are you having good customers? Are your customers there? Are they happy with the service? Those are the goals that actually matter and will make you successful. But it's hard to keep track of that when you get so addicted to different aspects of, you know, your business and you get stuck in the minutia. So keeping that mindset throughout is critical.
For sure. I know, man, I totally agree with that. I've gone through spurts in my business where it's like I'm trying to do everything all at the same time. But like you would be surprised by doing less stuff, you actually end up getting more done, which blows my mind. But if you study any successful person across any industry in history, whether it's like someone like Milton Hershey from Hershey's Chocolate or like, you know, some inventor, just random inventor, you look and it's like they only worked like a few hours a day. And it's like, well, how the heck did they do that? It's like they were just super focused and they did the work that mattered. They weren't doing the things like if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you can afford to hire somebody out for 80% of the work you're doing. You're doing menial tasks that would take 10 minutes to screen share and then delegate to somebody else. Maybe not 10 minutes, but I mean, it's a lot less than you think. And you really don't need to be as involved in touchy-feely as you think. I mean, I'm guilty of this as well. Like, I think I have to control everything, have my hands on everything. Like, I edited my own podcast for the longest time, just because I didn't want to let go. And now I have somebody who's better than me editing it, and I'm a lot less stressed, and I don't want to quit every time I release a new episode because it's fun for me again.
Exactly.
It just wasn't my strong suit.
That's exactly the mindset. I mean, you don't become an entrepreneur to get a job, right? You become an entrepreneur to get a business. It's that old mindset. But a lot of people, you know, it's hard to see past that, especially when you get so attached to things.
Beautiful, man. I love it. And you know what? I'm just going to say, let's just start to wrap it up there because you said it perfectly. Like, so with that being said, as we wrap up here and before we sign off, where can we go to learn more about you and your company?
Well, the best is our website. So just www.mattboardandmore.com. Go ahead, check it out. Feel free. I guess I can even leave an email for the podcast later as well. But you can email me personally, mkajboff@mattboardandmore.com. Always happy to help any entrepreneurs or anyone wanting to learn more about e-commerce. Or if you want to just buy a mat and frame, I'm happy to help you out. Happy to help you with that too.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and I'll make sure to link up everything we talked about for our work week, MacBorn and more, all the different things down in the show notes below us. So if you want easy access to that, just scroll down and you can click the links. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Matty. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dylan. It was awesome.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. So let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.